going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast. We're back. It's Monday. What up, Matt? What up, Tanner? What are we doing?
Oh, you know what it
We're binging boying.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Whoa!
Tanner.
Huh.
I don't know why I singled you out, but how are you guys?
We're good. I'm good, man. How are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm quite well, Tanner. Thank you for asking. Logan, how are you on this fine evening?
Wow, I'm doing swell, man. It's Binge Boys Monday. How can I be anything but excited?
That's right? True. It's Binge Boys Monday coming to you at you on Tuesday. Don't think about it too hard.
Binge Boys Monday coming at you at a Tuesday. We got a loaded epi, so I'm just going to get right into our programming notes. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back as always. If this is your first time, the premise is very plain and simple. Each week, my co-hosts and I, we break down the hottest in TV and movies. Tanner and Matt and I, we do the damn thing. Someone's calling me. Catherine is.
Thanks for that.
She's probably getting off work, so she's probably like, "Oh shit, did you start recording yet?" I'm waiting for that text to come through. Before I was rudely interrupted, we break down the hottest in TV and movies. That's it. Every Thursday, however, we have another episode of the show entitled "The Run Through," kind of a little spin-off situation, more like a lituation. You know what I mean? What happens is on those episodes, I am joined by a co-host who wants to dive in to a specific movie or TV series, and we break it down element by element and give an in-depth review. First things first, go to Instagram at Binge Boys Podcast and on Twitter at Binge Boys Pod. Follow us there. That's where you get our announcements, our top five lists, our reviews, and more. Twitter is more of an interactive situation, so I'm able to just, you know, repost trailers and clips when they drop. Today, we got the official, this isn't a headline, but we got an official poster for the Scream movie that is coming out January of 22. Little things there, like if things drop, Twitter's going to be the first to get it, whereas the podcast will be second. If you want those updates and those news and top five, top 10, whatever, go follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Next thing, go to iTunes and make sure you've left that five-star rating as well as a short review. And that helps us out a lot and it helps us grow the show.
Yes.
Tanner, I'm not sure if you heard, but it's 2021. Did you know that?
No. This is the first.
Well, now that you know.
I'm not sure that you've heard, but I think that people are like having trouble with their hotness and fitness jersey.
They are. You almost crushed that, Tanner. Better almost. Luck next time.
It's always almost, isn't it?
But either way, I think Bay is trying to not cook dinner tonight. Love that for us.
Ooh.
She hit.
So she's gonna.
She hit me with
any of that prepped and ready available still.
That's exactly what you're gonna eat.
I don't know if this was gonna. I never planned on it being a prepped and ready tie-in, but we can take it there. She hit me with the. Do you guys think you're gonna start Binge Boys on time? Which probably means she wanted to go get food, or order food, which she still can when she hears this on Tuesday.
Sure.
However. Tanner's right. Prepped and Ready is there for you on your hotness and fitness journey and on nights where we don't want to cook, which is most nights. I actually worked from home today. I had it for lunch. Prepped and Ready Meals delivers high quality fresh meals with health and fitness in mind, with a variety of healthy and low calorie but delicious meals that can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area, you can get on the Prepped and Ready train, man. You can go to PreppedReadyMeals.com and use code BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off that first time order. Prepped and Ready, meal prep made simple. Tanner, what'd you get into this weekend?
I woke up on Saturday morning and I went nowhere. I did not go to Little Caesars because Friday was my last day.
Wow.
So I sat around. And I felt very odd, I'll be honest.
Are you Big Caesar now? You graduate?
No, I'm Big Publix now.
Ooh, big. In the pocket of Big Publix.
Little Publixes. Yeah, but I sat around. I did things that I haven't been able to for a long time and got a lot of things finished. Applications, all that good such, paperwork, bullshit. And just had a great weekend just sitting around, watched the Packers. Did anybody see that game yesterday? The highlights for the Packer game?
I only saw the meme of the Bengals player who looks like the dude from Office Space.
He also looks like Tiger King.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like Joe Exotic.
No, but seriously, like at the end, we were about to win. Or no, they were about to win. Kick a field goal. They miss it. So then we go up. We're about to win. We miss the field goal. And then we go to overtime. First guy, you know, we go to kick a field goal to win because we picked them off in the red zone. We miss the field goal. They go back up. They missed the field goal. We come back down, and then we finally make the field goal. We win. There but, oh, my God, that was awesome.
Dude, I heard they left Rodgers too much time.
They always do. I saw 30 seconds on the clock. I looked at my room, and I'm like, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen here. But, he did it, but then our field goal kicker missed, which is very rare. It was very odd. And the White Sox won last night. Finally, they kept their hopes alive.
They did it.
Yes. How they about
the cheaters?
Yeah. Oh, God. Did you see us cheat, too? Did you see that play?
I saw the Red Sox one.
The one guy on our team, he hits hits an infield single to first, and then he runs outside of the base pass to take the hit. Like, they're throwing it home. Did you see
that's
that?
That's dirty.
It was awesome. The way I see it, good job.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I got into this weekend. What about you, Matt?
It was pretty good, yeah. Hung out with Dog WD-40. We witnessed some sports history. She watched Buster Posey hit a home run in the Giants game. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then we had some friends come into town. Shouts to them. There was a third couple getting – it was a reception. They got married just like with their family. Then they had a reception like back at their house with everybody. So that was – it was a bit of a movie. I'll be the first to say that. And then – yeah, so, and then we had kind of like a little, just like our house became the after party situation. It was pretty lit.
Ooh.
And then yesterday people left early and I felt terrible. So it was a big lazy day for your boy. It was wonderful.
Wow. We love to hear that.
We do.
Love to hear it.
I got into a lituation this weekend, bro. Oh. Nobody's ready for my weekend, bro. It was a major motion picture. It might even be an IMAX major motion picture.
Oh my God.
4D. It was 4D, the real D. It was the real D 4D experience, man.
Made it feel like mice were crawling on your feet or whatnot.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me and my parents and Catherine went up to Illinois. Ever heard of it? The state?
I lived there.
That's true. went to Eastern Illinois, Charleston territory, and hit up my brother and sister at college. Kind of went and visited them, and they had a swim meet this weekend. So a bunch of miscellaneous family members made it in town, and we witnessed the meet. But then the real highlight is the fact that it was the Catalina wine mixer.
Well, officially?
Yeah, it was the Catalina wine mixer. They host this yearly party, I guess, called the Catalina wine mixer for some reason. I don't know why. It's not 2008. No. Along with Tanner's
Monster
2011
energy.
Monster. trust me, it's still 2021. But I went to this house party, bro, and it was a wine party. And your boy's not a huge wine guy. But
your boy got drunk.
So your boy got lit. There's this picture circling social media of me, and it's mainly because I put it there.
I circulated it.
And it's just me. So there's this guy, shout out to my sister's boyfriend, for he was running around the party with boxed wine and just making people take pulls from the boxed wine. Here's the picture of me. If you're on video, you can see the footage of me taking that pull from the boxed wine. Your boy,
where did you go, King?
And I was nervous that I wasn't going to drink the wine, so I had to pick up a tall boy Truly.
Yeah, the sidecar of Truly.
Oh yeah. So your boy had Truly strawberry lemonade with a side of Prosecco or whatever the hell this is. it was just your basic run of the mill white wine in a box. I'm not sure the flavor.
Cheapest possible thing.
Yeah. Yes. It was probably $15 at your local Publix, but
was it a Tour de Franzia?
It might have been. Honestly, if you showed me a picture of the box, I would definitely recognize it. But we had a blast, man. It was fun. I hadn't been to a house party in a long time, and honestly, it reminded me why I don't like house parties.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was cool. I was treated like royalty.
Yeah. No, I stand up for the house party, but like going back to a college house party post-grad, that's got to be tough.
It was tough. Now.
I mean, so they had a bunch of athletes there. I mean, as athletes do, athletes party with other athletes.
Yeah.
So there were people that were ranging from all grades too. So like my brother's a junior and there were some seniors, there were some freshmen there. And I was just like, I don't belong here. Like one kid audibly was like, how old are you? And I was like, how old do you think I am? And the kid was just like, you're definitely not in college anymore. And I was like, sheesh.
Thanks.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Usually people are like, to me, they're usually like, what are you, 14?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. No, you're not 14. And no. Yes, I am a post grad. And no, I had no business being at this house party. However, it was fun. You know, I was there for like an hour and a half. It wasn't a major situation, but it was still fun. Yeah, that's dude, because awesome. I had two of those Truly tall boys, and we had to hit the Taco Bell afterwards, man. That's, you know, I won't completely expose her on the pod, but I will say that Catherine didn't have the greatest evening after we got home from the party, and I'll leave it at that.
Damn.
She got
population
lit.
Catherine.
So, shout out to Griffin and Cameron for inviting me to their house party. but other than that, man, wow, what a week! Fun. What a weekend! And
dude,
then, of
the
course,
house is crazy,
dude. Isn't it is crazy, and there were so many people mosh pitting in the middle of that room that the floor felt like it was gonna give out.
Dude, Alex is the king of that. Fuck, he hits the whatever bass thing they have. It's
Yeah, like legit, there were so many people jumping that it felt like the floorboard was going to crash and we were going to fall into the crawl space below.
Dude, like he was a blast. You can imagine what happened when I was there with Griffin.
Oh, I'm sure you guys were litty.
Oh, God. I don't remember any of it.
Well, there you go.
That's not true. But
so shout out to the Griffin and Cameron for inviting me and the Eastern swim team for inviting me to their house party.
Did you meet Josh?
Shout out to them. Huh?
To meet the kid named Josh?
Yes, I did.
Dude, what'd you think of him?
Dude, I'd never met this kid, and he was like legit. Like, he was like when I was like, I was like, oh, I'm thinking about leaving soon. He was like, you're gonna leave?
And yeah,
I was
that's like, that kid, dude.
I was like, yeah, and he was like, don't leave yet. And I was like, I don't know who you are,
dude. The last night I was there, that kid came over, and he like, well, some stuff happened, and he ate every single possible thing. He ordered $80 worth of food for the entire house. Nobody paid him back. And then he slept. He slept on the couch. And me, you know, Griffin, your parents came to pick us up that morning to leave. And that kid was still passed out on the couch at like noon.
That dude drank enough to make him sleep till noon, but then he also ate enough to make him sleep till like 8 p.m.
Can't he, bro?
Built different.
He's a funny kid. I love that.
Shouts
kid.
To him.
Yeah.
If he ever hears this, I'm gonna have to find him on Instagram.
Yeah, dude, tell him. I don't even think he'd remember that night that I was there.
I don't think he'll even remember me.
I don't know what Earth he was on. I don't even know.
Well,
he was on a different one. That's all I know.
Yeah. He's. We can move right into headlines, and there's just a few, and none of them are super huge, but. We got our first teaser trailer last week for House of Dragons, the Game of Thrones prequel series. Yes, Tanner.
I started Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And I kind of like it.
Okay. The Dothraki wedding.
God, it's nuts. Oh, the Dothraki are crazy, bro. Anyways.
Well, yeah. Just we got our first. We got our first trailer. And there's, it doesn't show much. It's just a few action shots and the logo and reveal that we are getting it in, I think it's January 2022.
Yeah.
Or early 2022, at least.
Just a lot of roommates are gonna shit. White hair.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to finish it, Tanner. I mean,
I will.
You'll finish by January. If you did Sopranos in 2 months, then you can do Game of Thrones in like a month.
I did the first six seasons of Sopranos in like a month, and then the last season in a month. Took me forever to finish the last season. Not because it was bad, because I just slept a lot.
Well, that's that's total excuse to not finish the series.
It's true.
Are you excited for this, Matt? Are you a Game of Thrones guy?
Yeah, I like. I mean, I wouldn't call myself like a huge Game of Thrones guy, but I, you know, I did watch the show, and I own four, maybe five of the books. I've read exactly one, so
you're making your way there.
Yeah, I'm making my way there. Yeah,
but you're making your way downtown.
Seems like, and I think the Targaryens is definitely like an interesting one to like explore. Just since I feel like they're kind of like on their way down during the course of the show, spoiler, I guess. Yeah. but yeah, I think it's I'm interested for sure. What else? I can't remember. Did you watch Logan or just like a little bit?
Yeah, I watched casually. I wasn't like on. I wasn't like super duper on board with it, but I watched it and I was a fan, so I'll watch this for sure. I mean, I've got HBO. Why not? I mean, everyone's going to be talking about it. Everyone's going to be watching it.
Yeah, I got to finish it. Shit.
Yeah. So I don't think it's. Yeah, it was good. It was cool. I wasn't super pissed at the last season like a lot of people were. I was a very casual fan, so I just was like, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, I didn't watch it live. I was like pretty delayed, so I knew what the reaction was the last season as a whole, so like I just went in with like the lowest of low expectations. I was like, well, this is slight, most episodes meet this bar, but some are a little bit better, so that's good.
Yeah exactly. So we will be keeping an eye on it, and we'll probably be watching it. Maybe we'll do a weekly recap if there's nothing else that will take that weekly recap slot early 2022 when it starts to air.
Yep.
Next up is last week there was a little bit of an oopsie made by Marvel India. Marvel India may have accidentally released the release date for Blade, which is a little earlier than a lot of people are thinking, because last year at their conference or whatnot, they announced a slate of movies and TV shows. It was the Disney thing that we're going to get here in like a month or so. But either way, they said like, and coming at some point is Blade. Now, this report says that Marvel's India Twitter account shared the upcoming Marvel Studios Phase 4 film slate, what appears to be a certain date for Blade's movie release, saying that it comes out on October 7th, 2022, which seems very early.
Yeah.
Considering the timeline that they kind of announced it on. So, you know, it could be a mistake, it could be a typo, but it came from the official Marvel India account and it was quickly taken down afterwards. So either, and Blade is kind of a Halloween-y type character, so October release date doesn't sound too far-fetched. But it's the first point is that Blade hasn't even begun filming unless Marvel's been doing it entirely in secret, which seems kind of unlikely. Somebody would have peeped about something. So I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that this is real? I mean, next year we're supposed to get Thor and the Captain Marvel sequel and the Doctor Strange sequel. Is there And I think one more, is there room for Blade at the end of the year? Or do you guys think that this will be a 2023 situation?
I think 2023, they want to long play it. I don't see what the point is. And like a surprise drop of, it's not like Blade isn't like a character that is going to like be like as big of a draw as, I don't know. Like, I feel like you could do a surprise like Batman movie or something and people would definitely go to see that, but
it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I don't think Blade's there. Sorry. Sorry, Wesley Snipes. Was that?
He's playing him.
But in like the earlier pre-trilogy.
Oh, wasn't it Wesley Snipes?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I said.
Tanner,
no,
do you
I
have...
thought I did say that. I'm sorry.
Oh, you might have. I don't know. I didn't hear you because I talked over you by accident.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever know.
The world may never know.
Tanner.
Just like the world will never know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
Well, Tanner, do you have any bit of excitement about Blade? Do you know anything about it?
No, but I'll definitely. I mean, it's Marvel, so I will be, you know.
He's played by the Oscar award-winning actor Mahershala Ali, which is the shit. If you might not know his name, Tanner, but if you look him up, you'll know him. You'll see his face, and you'll be like, oh, that guy. He's really good.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, this guy.
Yep. Yep.
Not Mayor Shop. I want Mahershala. I can't say it.
I still don't know if I'm saying his
Mahershala. Yeah.
Never know if I'm saying his name right, but either way, he's going to be dope. That'll probably be in it. Hopefully, that'll be a rated R one. I mean, Blade is really like edgy and vampire-y and all this shit. So it really should be rated R. At least the old ones, I think, were. So
I think so. Yeah.
So we'll see. But keeping it on the Marvel train, there were small reports early last week, but kind of towards the end of the week, I don't know if we got official confirmation, but Catherine Hahn has signed some kind of contract with Marvel and Disney that states that Agatha Harkness will be starring in her own Disney Plus spinoff show from WandaVision, and she'll appear in several movies. if the spinoff isn't called Agatha All Along, I don't think they did it right.
Yeah, they fumbled the bag on that one.
What do you guys think? Is this Agatha something that you want to see more of, or do you kind of think, oh, this is weird?
No, I'm 10,000% in.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, it'd be really awesome.
Yeah, Tanner.
Yeah, I guess.
I think she was one of the best parts of WandaVision.
It's what?
10.
Yeah.
I think she was one of the best parts of WandaVision.
She was pretty good. I think, I mean, you know, they'll make it amazing. I don't have any doubts about that. You know, I'll probably end up, well, definitely going to enjoy it. I just can't say anything about future Marvel projects because, like, right now, if I'm not, like, in, I will be. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But
however, we're less than a month away from Eternals. And my hype is still moderate.
Mine's going down.
I'm not soup. I mean, I'm
there. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say there are things that I really, really, really like about it. And I'm really excited about. But then, like, you guys see the runtime for the movie?
Two hours and 34 minutes.
I think it's the second or third longest Marvel movie there is.
It's behind Endgame. And then the third one is Infinity War, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 2 hours and 36 or 37 minutes.
God.
Which,
it better be good.
I'm cool with it. I mean, the director, she just won an Academy Award last year for her movie. The cast is stellar. I don't think it's going to be bad. But
I don't think it'll be bad.
But I'm just, my hype is just meh right now.
Honestly, the only reason my hype's going down is because every damn movie we go to, it's the first trailer that pops up, and it's starting to piss me off.
Tanner made a really good point when we saw No Time to Die, when I saw what movie was advertised for that one, too.
Dune. Dune's
yeah, it was Dune. Over. I was like, yeah. I'm excited for Dune, but I'm tired of seeing the freaking trailer.
We get it, you know?
From what I've heard, Dune is kind of a letdown.
I've heard that as well.
So
shit, and it's going to be like Logan's, always, like you always say, Logan, this smells like a three-hour movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
God.
Megan, friend of the pod and host of The Run-Through, told me that she heard that Dune we might, if you didn't know this, you are about to know, Dune is based off of a book.
Yeah.
But apparently this movie is based off like the first half.
Oh, okay.
And like, there's going to be another movie in like 3 years that's the second half of the book or something.
Well, so there's the, I think there's.
There's a few of them, aren't there?
I think there's three Dune trilogies.
Both of us. Not like three entries, but there's three separate Dune trilogies.
I might be wrong, but like, so the.
So nine total?
The main guy, Frank Herbert, I think he wrote six, and then his son wrote like a prequel trilogy.
Damn.
Prequels.
This news story is all over the place, but speaking of sons taking over their father's work, the reviews for Ghostbusters Afterlife are very good.
Yes. Huh? Good.
Which makes me hype. But either way, back to Dune,
back to the Eternals, back to Agatha Harkness.
I was going to say, and this is going to be the easiest transition ever, there's a lot of theories that Agatha is going to be a main character or at least a side character in the sequel to Doctor Strange, which rumor is we're going to get the first trailer for that movie with Spider-Man No Way Home. Trailer will be after Spider-Man, kind of like how they did with, didn't they do that with Captain America back in the day? And the Avengers trailer was like the after credit scene.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
I think
they did a real quick. It was like a 20-second, like a bunch of flashes to different scenes, but it was just like, boom, Captain America will return in the Avengers or whatever.
I bet you're exactly right. They're going to do it again for Doctor Strange. They're not going to show it like.
Yeah, but how can they? Yeah, how can they give off the movie, the trailer for the movie before Spider-Man No Way Home?
See, I think what you just said, they'll probably just do it in as an after credit kind of scene, and then after like a couple weeks of Spider-Man being out, they'll release the trailer.
Yeah, that might be
true. It's going to be straight spoilers, I have a feeling, you know.
Yeah, you might be right.
Mm, or maybe not. They know what they're doing. They'll just deep fake everything.
Yeah. there's a lot of thoughts. I saw a YouTube video like last night that said like the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer we got is like 60% fake. Like,
I believe it.
Half of the shots are just put in there just to throw us off.
Please.
And that the movie is a lot crazier than any of us even expect. But I'm not going to get my hopes too high because they're already high enough.
Mine are way too high.
I'm going to try to keep it very mellow. But it said it would be fun if they dropped the Doctor Strange trailer with Spider-Man No Way Home, considering the fact that there's a huge rumor that Tobey Maguire appears in that movie, and Doctor Strange 2 is directed by the guy who directed the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy. Sam Raimi,
yeah.
So we'll see. Lunch, a bunch of Marvel news, as always. We should just rebrand to be a Marvel podcast at this point.
I should.
Yeah, we'll see. I like talking about other things besides Marvel.
I was going to say that we're going to have a business meeting right here on the pod. Also, I misspoke. So the original guy did write six Dune novels. His son has been absolutely churning out Dune content.
So his son took...
Yeah. He like basically picked up his dad's work and then said, yo, I am never doing anything ever again. He's written more than his dad ever has. So,
wow. Are they good?
Someone's buying them.
They're making a major, Tanner, if you haven't heard, they're making a major motion picture off of it. So they've got to be somewhat good.
Not off of the that
every time he gets back from writing a Dune prequel, it's like, dude, this week was a major motion picture.
True. Speaking of major motion pictures, let's move out of the headlines and let's transition into the first of two major motion pictures that we're talking about today. What did you say, Tanner?
Nothing. I just...
He's laughing at you, yeah.
Tanner, you're having a great little time tonight.
I am.
Well, you know what else was a good time? I had a really good time watching The Guilty. But before we talk about The Guilty in a little bit more full detail... Some details about the movie. It was directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Fuqua, yeah.
Fuqua, who is known for directing Southpaw, The Magnificent Seven, The Equalizer, Southpaw. Some really good action movies.
Training Day?
Yes.
Yes.
The movie is about a demoted police officer assigned to a call dispatch desk is conflicted when he receives an emergency phone call from a kidnapped woman. The movie came out on Netflix a few weeks ago, and it's right around an hour and a half. It's a nice quick watch.
Yes.
Tanner, well, first, actually, I mean, me and Tanner gave it the perfect score.
Yep.
Well, of course, by the way, this movie stars Jake Gyllenhaal and voices.
Did you guys hear Bill Burr?
I knew he was there, but I just like didn't pick him up. Who is it? The bite guy?
No, he was a different guy. He was the one who's there was a fight starting somewhere.
Oh, it was the nightclub caller.
He's like, okay. Fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Gotcha. Oh, that was Bill Burr.
That was him. Yeah. As soon as he started talking, I was like,
interesting. Okay. Huh. All right. Well, I didn't catch that. That's good trivia there. But yeah, The Guilty Man. Matt, me and Tanner gave it the perfect score. What didn't hit enough for you to give it that 5 out of 5?
I felt like – so I definitely think it was like a good movie. I'm not trying to give it the 4 out of 5 and then dump all over it the whole time, which I feel like is sometimes the position I find myself in here. but I don't know, man. I think – almost just like the best and worst thing about it is just the super tight focus that it had, yeah, like just on Gyllenhaal inside, basically over the course of this one shift plus like a little bit else. I was very surprised to learn that this movie was not a product of the ongoing global pandemic. This movie was made in 2019 in Denmark and then like readapted for that. So that I found like that surprising. But yeah, I don't know. He was doing a lot and he was doing it really well. But I don't know. It's just something about it. It just didn't quite connect with me all the way.
I get you. I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie was fun, man. I mean, yeah. The first 10 minutes, it takes time, you know, it takes the first 10 minutes to set it up and you start asking questions like, what's his situation? Like me and Catherine watch it together. We're like, what's this dude's situation? Did he kill somebody in battle? Does he have PTSD? Why is he in a call center? Blah, 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 mm-hmm. You know, which is good. I mean, the movie early on made you ask those questions. But yeah, I had a complete joyride watching this movie from start to finish. I mean, there was no part of it that I was bored. Matt said it was tight, real tight. They spent no time besides the first 10 minutes doing things. And then bam, it happened.
I think I realized what I didn't do. I just like in that first like 10 minutes, like Jake Gyllenhaal's character was just kind of a big D head for reason.
Oh yeah.
I feel like at that point, but, and also even like learning about like the situation that like got him there. Like, it's just, I don't know, just a lot of conversations we've had about like policing, like in America. I still didn't like, it didn't give me a lot more sympathy for him enough to sort of get over just kind of his be a dick for no reason. And like tell everybody how to do their job when he failed at doing his job. Earlier.
That's a good thought.
So that, I think that's enough of a reason to knock it down 1 point. So I'll let you guys talk now.
Sure. He was a huge dick the first like fifth and kind of the whole movie. Except to the victims of his thing, which by the way, great twist.
That was gripping.
Great twist.
Holy shit.
Did not see that happening. Tanner, haven't given you a chance yet. What'd you think?
Same as you. What a ride. I was on a roller coaster the whole time. I mean, it's just the fact that, that twist, holy shit. I was sitting there and like, as the little girl was like, he's sleeping. I was like, wait a second. And then he goes in there. Oh my God. And I'm like, oh fuck. I knew it. And then I still to the moment thought it was the guy all the way up until when they told me it wasn't, or he figured it out. I was like, oh yeah, I did this when the movie was over. I was like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
It was exhilarating. I loved it. And that's why I gave it 5 out of 5. I was just totally like I turned it on, and then it ended. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I was totally – nothing else was happening, which is – doesn't happen very often.
I was just impressed about – Gyllenhaal, first of all, killed it. I mean, yes, absolute, no pun intended. Absolutely killed it. Absolutely killed it, man. I mean, the whole time I was watching, I was like, he needs to get nominated for an Oscar, but he won't. I mean, this is.
You don't think so?
I doubt it.
This wasn't a super Oscar-y movie.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. But the fact that you said, Matt, that this wasn't a movie that was a product of the ongoing global pandemic really surprises me. Because during the film, or while we were watching it, we were like, oh, this was definitely filmed over COVID. There's like three cast members. Everything else is done over the phone. There's very minimal special effects. I'm very curious, actually. Let me see if IMDb will tell me the budget for this.
Yeah. So it was like filmed over the pandemic, but originally it was a 2018 Danish movie.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. No info on the budget.
It couldn't have been much. I feel like even like the times where it like cut to outside of the dispatch center, it could have just been high quality stock footage.
Says here, this is fun, a little trivia situation. It says this movie was filmed in 11 days. Yeah. Remake of the, this might be something fun that we could do. When we review new movies, I mean, we do this on the run through, we'd talk about trivia, but when new movies come out, there's not many trivia facts just because the movie's so fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple fun facts here. Someone near the director tested positive for COVID-19 mere days before the film began shooting, so he had to isolate. I know this also because I saw Gyllenhaal on. I think it was Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, and he basically said that the director had to just isolate like over the like a fence on like a lift, and he just watched everybody film the movie from like above.
Oh, I heard he directed it from a van.
Oh yeah, sorry. That's exactly right. The picture I saw was him standing on the roof of the van, like to like.
<Hey. laughs>
Yeah.
Hey.
They basically directed it from a van. It also says that Jake Gyllenhaal's sister, Maggie Gyllenhaal, is married to Peter Skarsgård, who plays Henry in the movie. Yep. This is the second remake of a Danish film that stars Jake Gyllenhaal, the first of which being Brothers from 2009. Good one.
Boxing?
No, close, but that it's one's good. It's actually one with Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
And, I've never seen that. What's her name? Damn it, I'm looking at her. Natalie Portman.
Yep.
Basically, where Tanner, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend looking into it. Basically, right. Tobey Maguire married to he's married to Natalie Portman. He goes away to war in Iraq, and then he's presumed dead. So Jake Gyllenhaal, like as his brother, kind of cares for the wife and her kids while, you know, because they think that Tobey Maguire died and they almost kind of fall in love. And then Tobey Maguire is not dead. And it causes this real awkward situation when he comes back from war. And it's pretty good. It came out in 2009.
That sounds powerful.
It's some amazing acting from Tobey Maguire too. There's memes out there of Tobey Maguire, like, his freak out scene, like there's memes everywhere of it.
The face acting.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But back to the Guilty Man. Good movie, huh? I mean,
yeah,
very. Yeah.
This will probably end up being in my my top 10 of the year, maybe. I mean,
me too.
Let's assume that nothing else amazing comes out that'll knock it down. But I loved it.
Did either of you see? I think it's called Buried, where it was like a similar to this movie, but it's Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds like in a coffin, buried alive the whole movie.
I never saw it, but I wanted to.
It was good. It was good. I watched it a while ago, so hopefully it holds up. But
I watched it though. The problem with like people have with these movies that I've talked to, like this one, they didn't know that it wasn't gonna. There was nothing else. It was just gonna be him inside the call room. And that's why some people don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like you watch the you need to, like, if you're watching with someone like that who you think it might do that, just like watch the trailer, be like, all right, are you still in? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Hey, this movie takes place in one room.
That's what happened when we watched Buried. We thought that, you know, Reynolds was going to walk out of it eventually, right, or do something was going to happen. Hello.
He gets shout out to, right, Catherine that just came in that did not do Prepped and Ready, but we did indeed do
Chick-fil-A,
no, which is not sponsoring this podcast
yet.
Thank you.
Facts.
Shout out to you. Thank you. So The Guilty, everybody, check it out on Netflix if you haven't already. It's a good watch. And shout out to Jake Gyllenhaal, and also shout out to the voice actors that were on the phone. They did very well too.
Really, really good.
Next up on our itinerary is to review the longly awaited, the delayed 3-4 times. This is the most delayed movie besides Venom, from COVID-19. No Time to Die, which is the new James Bond flick. The movie clocks in around 2 hours and 43 minutes, which is quite long.
God damn it, that was long. But it was
good. Says here, James Bond has left active service. His peace is short-lived, however, when Felix Leiter, an old friend from the CIA, turns up asking for help, leading Bond onto the trail of a mysterious villain armed with dangerous new technology. Of course, this stars Daniel Craig as his final appearance as James Bond. Also in the movie, Rami Malek and a cast of others. Naomi Harris, Jeffrey Wright made an appearance for a little bit, which was really cool. Sasha Lynch played Nomi. I don't know. My vision is so bad. I can't read that far. Matt, did you get a chance to check out No Time to Die?
I did not, unfortunately. I had no time. I have time to die, apparently, I guess. I don't know.
Well, do you care if we do mullet style?
Do those spoilers. Just mullet or just go in your face, beard style, I guess.
Well, I'd like to do business in the front, party in the back, but I just want to start off the review by saying RIP to James Bond. He died in this movie.
He's done. He really is done.
Which a lot of people had thought was going to be the case, because he said this was his last time playing James Bond. And it'd be weird if James Bond just appeared as, a different dude next movie with a different family and a different storyline. But no, man. I mean, this movie was a ride as well.
Yes.
Action-packed. I'm not a huge James Bond fan, and Tanner hadn't seen any of them before this one.
Tanner loves them now.
But this movie was a ride. Tanner, let's hear it. What do you think?
Well, I was worried when you said, because I had no idea it was 2 hours and 45 minutes. And it was like we were going late at night. What was it, like 7, 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Later at night, at least. And I was just like, oh, shit. I was tired already. But then as soon as it started, right away, just straight action. And it was like, and we watched a recap before and all the other ones, and it really does connect to the other ones. So I needed to watch them, but
nice.
I kind of understood it because of it, but it was, God, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just action packed and fun and badass. Holy shit. He's a badass. I didn't realize that.
I told Tanner's huge fan of like John Wick and Bourne movies.
Never seen a John Wick.
And you've never seen a Bond, especially the Craig ones.
Oh, I didn't know you hadn't seen John Wick. But either way, you're a Bourne guy.
Big Bourne guy.
Which really surprised me that you hadn't seen any James Bond. But now
I need to go watch them all.
It's kick ass. Yeah.
It's so, oh my God. The amount of
I think we both gave it a 4 out of 5.
We did.
Very strong movie, No Time to Die.
Very.
However, personally, there's one or two things that bumped it down from a perfect score. First of all, the length didn't bother me at all. Didn't bother me at all.
It kind of did towards the middle. I was going a lot. I started to yawn a bit. I was getting tired.
Yeah. But first act. This movie's like Venom, Let There Be Carnage. First act and third act, amazing. Middle act, kind of drug a little bit.
Hour, it's funny how I did that, and it was only an hour and a half movie.
However, yeah, really. Yeah. However, the two things that come to mind when I think about what bumped it down from a perfect score is, number one, the plot is kind of cheesy with the villain having an end of the world virus.
He's a total spreading, ass clown.
Total Black Widow plot thing where there's a device that's going to infect people all over the world. And you've heard this before. there's hundreds of movies out there that followed this plot. And this one followed it. And the second one goes hand in hand with that evil plan. And it's the villain, man. Very one-dimensional, one-sided, very just
creepy.
Well,
that was what it was good about him, though. He was a creep. He played it really well.
Rami Malek did great.
He did.
But the villain, the way the villain was written, it just wasn't very in-depth. Like, we have villains nowadays like Thanos, which is written very well, and you really almost feel for Thanos sometimes. And this villain's motivations make no sense. They're, you know, I'm going to take over the world just because I want to. There's no reasoning behind it. I'm an evil guy because I want to be evil type situation. Like, there's nothing that really pushed him to that point. I mean, James Bond killed his family. Like, way back in the day, or somebody did.
It was the girl's dad, his love interest dad, who killed. And do we even know who that is? Who that was? Was that ever explained? That was strange.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, a weak villain and a stereotypical plot. However, Daniel Craig kills it, man. I mean,
he's so cool.
I'm sad to see him go. I cried at the end. I teared up. He's been too. James Bond since 2006. I mean, It's almost like seeing Robert Downey Jr. die as Iron Man. Like, he's now gone. I'm really excited to see who plays Bond next. A lot of rumors around Idris Elba and Henry Cavill. I mean, both of those would do really good.
Cavill.
But, you know, I don't know. I really enjoyed the movie. I'm not a huge Bond fan, but if the villain and the plot line was a little less cheesy, I would have maybe given it a perfect score. I had a blast watching this movie, Tanner. What about you? Yeah, me too.
I mean, the thing that kind of brought it down is kind of the same thing about the plot line. More like how it dragged in the middle. That's kind of what brings it down for me. But like, if you think about it, like, who the fudge would work for somebody that just wants to kill everybody? Like, who would work for him?
Oh. Yeah, and this guy's got,
you know,
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men that are just blank henchmen. You know, that mean nothing. It's, you know, it's just cheesy. And
it is.
And maybe they didn't mean it to be that way, or maybe they did. I don't know.
But, like, it's not like he was going to keep anybody alive. He was going to go, and so was everybody else, you know? He wasn't going to stay alive throughout all that bullshit that he was going to pull. Everybody was going to die. Everybody. Yeah,
that's Rami Malek played a creepy villain, though.
Jesus.
I mean, his acting, you know, he did the Rami Malek thing where he just had the blank face the whole movie and was just like, I will kill everyone you love type thing.
Bro, are we going to say James Bond's got a daughter?
What?
Yep. So there's the door wide open for sequels.
Well, I don't think they'll continue it just because Daniel Craig's dead. Well, they could, but there's been a lot of backlash over people saying that James Bond is going to be a chick next. So I don't know if the studio maybe planted that seed for that possibility, but I don't know, because I haven't seen any James Bond movies before Daniel Craig's. So I don't know, like, do they just, like, restart each time they get a new actor?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm not super well.
Is it like a Batman situation where they just restart?
So. Yeah, I think that's, like, potentially the same, like, supporting characters of, like, MI6, like, are all there. But, yeah, they just kind of, like, recast everyone and don't acknowledge it.
Well, if that's the case, then I don't know if they'll do the daughter thing. I think the daughter thing would be cool. They can get a real young actress to play James Bond for a few years. So, but I don't know. I mean,
would her name be?
I don't know was like Polish too. He knocked up some Polish chick. So I don't know what the Polish chick's name is, but they had another 007, which was played by the Lashana Lynch, and there was a lot of rumors like, oh, she's going to take over as James Bond at the after this movie, but
she gave it back to him.
She passed the mantle of 007 after he retired back to him when they got thrown back in all the madness. So I don't know, man.
After she realized how badass he really was, she was like, you know, can we give him the number back?
Yep, that's exactly what she said. She was like,
it's just a number.
Yeah, you deserve the 007 title. But this movie is exclusively in theaters. You can't watch it on a streaming service. So if you want to check out No Time to Die, go to a theater, man. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, you'll have a lot of fun. If you're a James Bond fan, then you'll love this movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And if you don't, then you won't like this movie. And that's just how it is.
And, I mean, everybody was like, at the end, it was powerful. I've never seen one, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge James Bond fan, but I teared up at the end. Yeah, it was really powerful. So,
yeah.
Again.
Okay.
So.
Shout out to the guy that sat next to me who reeked of cologne. Jesus.
Dude, that's the thing.
He
also,
kept looking at me.
I thought Venom or Shang-Chi was going to be like this, but this No Time to Die theater was nuts to butts.
And it was Thursday night.
Almost every seat.
It was Thursday night, too. It wasn't even the real release day. It was.
That's even more popular, I feel like.
Might be.
So.
Yeah, from like all the old. And a lot of them were older people, too.
Yeah, it was an older crowd.
Yes. Bond heads.
So it was crazy. And then.
Sorry.
Last little chunk of the episode is dedicated to. dedicated to What If, which is. Marvel's anthology series. We got our finale the other night. Tanner, starting with your general finale thoughts, followed by your What If series as a whole thoughts. What'd you think?
The finale was pretty damn awesome. But I truthfully expected the Watcher to be fighting a little more with them. I thought he was. That's what I thought the whole damn oath was at the end. Not just him organizing a team, but then I don't know. He organized a team and then watched like he does because that's his name. But
get what you pay for.
Yeah, but I don't know. I expected more. I expected some crazy end credit scene. I just expected more the whole time. That's why I didn't get it. I enjoyed to the whole series recap. I loved the whole thing. I loved it. That's why I got a 4 out of 5. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was just one big scene away. I wanted some sort of connection to the MCU, but damn, I forgot what it was for a second. The MCU, but I mean, I know we weren't supposed to get one. It's supposed to be a separate thing, but I really expected them to be messing with us because that's what they do, you know. But that's just kind of why I got a 4 out of 5. I felt like it was building up to something huge. And it really wasn't that huge to me, you know? So, yeah, I think I said that right. That well. Yeah.
I think
What about you, Mr. Matt?
Yeah, sort of like similar. I feel like I was a bit warmer on the finale than you were. I liked the stakes that it went to. My only issue was that it made that Gamora character not only super important, but also it's the first time we're meeting her. And it's like, well, that's one I want to see that one. That one sounds more interesting than like some of like the others. But I like that the finale like tied in just all the episodes in a way that was like pretty unique. And it made sense that, you know, it made that Doctor Strange one, like I said previously, it made that one like worthwhile showing just like how powerful he was.
Holy shit, was he ever.
Him plus the Watcher versus Ultron and all the other people were just kind of distractions.
So
I thought it was pretty darn satisfying. I definitely could go for more. I just don't know if they will, since I feel like once they introduce the character like of the Watcher, then we'll need something new from him like every time.
True.
And so I don't really know what like another season long arc would look like for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm interested, of course, if they could do it. I just like hope that's not like a letdown for that reason. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah. personally, the finale was a little underwhelming, mainly because I loved the episode before.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, like, the fight between the Guardians of the Multiverse versus Ultron was cool. However, I just kind of don't buy it. Like, Ultron is this in the multiverse, he's this being that is the almost borderline god, was taking the Watcher through different branches of reality and was defeated by Captain Carter and Black Widow. To me, I mean, of course, Doctor Strange Supreme or whatever had a huge help in fighting. But I don't know. I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was still cool. I mean, I kind of thought the same about Tanner. Like, I felt it was kind of weird that the title is kind of misleading, saying that the Watcher broke his oath, whereas the Watcher, I mean, I guess he did pull them from their different realities.
Right, like, he made them aware of the existence of the multiverse and, like, did use his power to, like, bring them together. But I definitely agree. I think he broke it more in the previous episode when he was, like, tried to, like, fight back and fix things there.
I agree. I think the last episode was when he broke his real oath, whereas this episode he kind of was just like, well, if I've broken it, might as well take it to the full mile and assemble a team here.
Sure.
But he could have taken him to the extra mile and fought.
What? Nah,
who knows? He could have kept... Yeah, I don't know.
I saw a thing that said that Gamora's episode was cut.
It was.
Because of... I'm trying
to get... And then they put Thor in there.
I'm trying to get to this episode. Says, turns out this episode is pushed to season 2. After the coronavirus pandemic hampered work on the show, which makes no sense. They finished every other episode. Why is this one any different?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that, I don't know. But they've also said that season 2 is going to focus on stories that are only relevant to past Endgame. So the fact that they're going to go back and talk about Gamora and Iron Man seems out of place. I don't know. I mean,
they were doing like kind of like the events of Endgame. So maybe it's technically what we saw is technically post with them like melting down the gauntlet.
True. True.
I don't know.
It says that, this will probably be the one that opens the season just to get us back in the groove of What If episodes and stuff. So, sure. But there's no release date or whatnot of season 2. I'm sure they're going to wait a minute to do it.
No reason not to. I mean, I feel like they'll, even us like talking about how it was a little bit underwhelming, like we're still going to watch.
So. Oh yeah. Like it's the same as what Tanner said earlier about Blade. Like, Marvel could put a movie about a doorknob, and I'm going to rush to the theater.
It's true, yeah.
It could be called Marvel's Doorknob.
Right, then you see...
Through the eyes of the doorknob.
Yeah.
The Iron Man glove, like, turning it. It's like, what?
Yeah. Let's talk about it for an hour and theorize. What does that doorknob mean?
Yep.
What is he?
But, is it I was a little... just on the series as a whole. I mean, there was a few episodes I really, really, really liked, and then there was a few episodes that I just was like, about. So
yeah,
I gave it a 3 out of 5. I think it was fine. I think the first half and the later half was awesome, but then that middle chunk just didn't win me over. But
sure.
Man, what is it with Marvel and their show is not winning me over since Loki? The next Marvel show better... Hawkeye better not disappoint, bro.
I know.
Seeing as who's at the helm, it is a risk we're running into.
I'm setting my expectations low for Hawkeye. Yeah. So with all of that said, you guys, I think we can go and... So earlier when I was talking about Blade and the release dates, this is our 2022 lineup real quick before we talk about ranking our... this doesn't include TV shows. Hawkeye's obviously November, I think 12th. We got Eternals November 5th of this year, Spider-Man 3 December 17th. Then the first movie we get is in March 25th, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Then we get May 6th, 2022, Thor Love and Thunder. Then we get on July 8th, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. November 11th, 2022, The Marvels. And then the other only other movies we have release dates for so far is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania for February 17th, 2023. And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 for May 5th, 2023. Yes. So as of now, that's what we got.
2022 sounds like a good year. It's just a hot take alert. Sorry to bury it an episode into the – or an hour into the pod, but, you know, just got to get my take out there.
I don't think you're wrong. We're getting 5 Marvel movies at least. Well, and then shows in between those. Woo! So either way, though, we can now rank our favorite What If episodes from top to bottom. This was a fun list to make.
It was a fun list.
So we'll treat it like it's a top 10, only it's a top 9 because Gamora's episode was cut.
Shouts honorable to mention, the theoretical Gamora episode.
And, you know, ranking the episodes was interesting because I kind of shat on a few episodes, but going back, none of these are really bad.
Yeah.
I just enjoy them more than others. True. So with that said, I don't want to, this is going to sound bad saying this is my number 9. T'Challa became a Star Lord?
You're a damn fool.
I know. I don't know. And I honestly don't have any good reasoning. I wrote them all down and then I said, well, that one I liked more than that one. And that one I liked more than that one. And it just ended up being the last one. Tanner.
Just happens.
Tanner, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is What If Captain Carter Were the First Avenger? Didn't like it. Bored. Sleepy. Almost. I remember just being like, damn, that was it? That's what I've been hyped for? Yeah, that's all I got to say. All
right. My number 9 will surprise nobody, and it was What If Doctor Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands.
Damn, I forgot that you didn't like that one.
I can't believe it.
Completely self-contained. It was just a Doctor Strange movie that didn't get made into a movie.
That's a good point. I forgot that you didn't like that one.
No draw.
Wow.
Ooh, I'm switching one of mine.
Ooh. Is it your number 8?
It is my number 8 because this one deserves to be the number 8. My number 8 is now What If Thor Were an Only Child? This one was pretty boring to me. This one could have been the number 9, to be honest, but this one was just boring to me. The only cool things were, Chris Hemsworth being the voice of Thor again.
Funny as hell.
Which was, he had some funny lines, but then Loki being the frost giant was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was cool.
So I don't know. That was the main highlight. Was Captain Marvel in this episode?
Yes, she fought Thor. She that was pretty like cool. Almost
that was cool. That's why it's ranked.
That's
above
why it's number 8, nine. Not number 9.
Yes, Tanner, what you got at number 8?
Same thing.
Oh, okay.
Although I did enjoy. I won't say I didn't enjoy it, but. After about the first 20 minutes, I dropped the, this is not serious. Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, but like in terms of the show. Yeah. That's why it's number 8.
Sure.
Compared to all the other ones. Alrighty, Matt.
My number 8 is Captain Carter one. A good primer, but like, just like we've said, just kind of like weaker. I think she's a good character, and I think that, you know, it was good, but I think this was just more a case of tough competition versus like that one not quite right, doing it. What's up, Logan, for your new number 7, or was this always number 7?
This one was always number 7. Is What If the Earth Lost Its Mightiest Heroes? So this is the one where what's his name? Hank Pym was behind the murdering of all the Avengers. Cool concept. Kind of didn't see it coming where Hank Pym was the one that was responsible. So that's kind of that cool little twist at the end of that episode was cool enough for me to bump it above those other two. But Still just eh.
Yeah.
Again, like we said it, I think when we were reviewing one of the first episodes of the show, feels like they just threw a bunch of characters on a board and then threw darts and was like, this one, and this one is going to be in it, and this one's going to be the villain for no reason why.
Yep.
Yeah. Tanner, what you got at your
same
number seven?
Thing again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just, you know, what you said. Yes, that was cheap. I know. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about it, you know?
Yeah, we can just rank them.
As good as the other ones.
For me, my number seven is What If Thor Was an Only Child? To which, minus Captain Marvel, like, how substantively different was this, the plotline of this episode versus the first Thor movie? Like, I just had this realization what we were just talking about. I was like, wait, it's just kind of the same. He's just kind of a dickhead party animal.
He's just kind of an asshole.
Yeah, and that's it. We don't stand assholes here, but I guess I like the Captain Marvel fight with that one enough more, since I was like, I thought that was a pretty unique twist on it.
Real quick, did anyone not like die laughing in the final episode when he was like, Viva Las Vegas?
That was very that was funny.
He kept doing it over.
He kept like, doing Vegas! It. I was like, you get one. You get exactly one. You don't get to laugh. Do that like four times.
Every time it got me. That was funny.
All right. All right.
All right.
All right. We're entering your middle third, Logan. What you got at number six?
Number six here is What If Captain Carter Were the First Avenger? I really liked Captain America. Captain America, the First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
So to see kind of those characters back again, to see Peggy take up the mantle of Captain America, I thought was a cool concept. And I never even thought about what if like Tony Stark's dad created an Iron Man suit. Like that whole concept was pretty cool to me. And just the image of her like riding on the back of the Ironmonger essentially it's pretty badass. I mean, mm-hmm. It kind of just, what if you picture like Steve like hanging off of the boot of like Tony's Iron Man? That would be a pretty badass moment. So
for
yeah,
sure.
I liked that one. That was a strong introduction for me to the series. Tanner, what about your number six?
Yeah,
my number six is What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark?
Okay.
Yeah, not didn't need it. Still really don't care.
You're gonna have to start saying something good about some of these episodes. We're getting
I know
up there.
Well, I'll say the ones I it's just to me this show about like right around where we're gonna get now after this next one, all of them are amazing to me.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's really like top heavy.
It, yes, very
sounds like
so.
It deserves a 3 out of 5.
Shit. Oh, I'll think about that.
I'll think about it, yeah.
Matt.
My number six was the zombies one.
Okay.
I liked this is like sort of what you'll find. They're like the unique pieces, sort of just arranged in different ways, but I'm kind of over zombies and it was just, yeah, but yeah, a little like fatigued by this one. And like in the season just didn't quite hit as hard as I thought it might. So yeah. What you got in the middle spot at number five, Logan?
My number five is What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark? I think this is kind of where it turns for me too. I really liked Michael B. Jordan in this episode. I also thought it was kind of random that he was in Afghanistan, but still kind of cool. Kind of the thought of him taking over and being like the star pupil when Tony Stark went back to America was just a pretty cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked him. I liked that he came back in the finales, two episodes too, and was kind of a part of that Avengers team, taking Black Panther's slot essentially. So I liked it. I liked that one. And again, I really like Iron Man 1 as a movie and as a whole. So like playing around with that storyline is cool to me. Tanner, what'd you got for your number five?
What if T'Challa became Star-Lord?
Really? You liked this one?
I did. It was all right. I mean, it was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Big RIP to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, seriously. What a loss.
Although he's turning in his grave because I shat on his episode. Matt.
All right. Sorry, I didn't know where we were going from that one. Mine is What If the World's Mightiest Heroes couldn't start or whatever it was. Yeah, I liked the sort of weird mystery to it. And just sort of focusing on Nick Fury. I think that that's like a really good, a winning angle for the show, especially since that's, I mean, there are movies where he plays a very central character, but you're not really always like following him. So that like unique angle and just kind of like all the work of the Avengers Initiative just absolutely gone and at the hands of a very tiny man. True. And also having Loki end up helping was like a good twist.
That's true.
I enjoyed. So yeah. Where are you at with your number four, Logan?
My number four is, what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? This was one of the first ones that like actually just like roped me in, because yeah, it was self-contained, and yeah, it was probably just a recycled Doctor Strange script.
Thank you.
But I don't know. I really like Doctor Strange as a character. I didn't really care for Doctor Strange's movie. I know that's kind of a hot take. But ever since his movie, all of his appearances, like in Endgame and Infinity War and such, like he's been sick as hell. So it also introduced us to Doctor Strange Supreme, which is most likely going to be a character we see in live action form at some point. So
isn't that confirmed, or am I wrong?
I don't know if it was confirmed, but I think it's likely.
Heavily theorized.
Yes. Tanner, what's your number four?
What if the Watcher broke his oath?
Okay.
I agree with you on that one. That is also my number four. Wait, let me double check.
I like that. That is my number four. I enjoyed it. You know, I honestly, dude, Thor cracks me up. He was honestly one of the funniest parts of that show. It was freaking hilarious. But very good action. Although, no all those. It's number four.
Yeah. Same for me. For the reasons that we talked about, you know, just a few minutes ago when we were talking about the full episode. Like, pretty good, but just didn't quite get all the way there. Yeah.
The stakes were so high, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah. They said at least somewhere to go next season. We can just
exactly.
All right. What's your top three, starting off with Logan?
What if .. zombies? I thought it was a cool concept. I'm a zombie guy. I like zombie movies. I like zombie video games. This storyline hooked me. I liked the Paul Rudd in a glass. I liked the zombie Wanda. I think there was a lot of strong points to this one. Having them fight zombie Cap was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Sorry, real quick. That was a wonderful tie-in in the last episode to have just the horde of zombies.
Oh, yeah. That's like, cool.
This is the reason we brought her. We brought them. Not all these scrubs.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Thor was like, that'll keep them busy.
Not them. Her.
Yes.
Then she got destroyed in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Tanner, what'd you got for...
What if Ultron won? That was a strong episode. I enjoyed it a lot, but not as strong as my first two.
Oh.
Dang.
Although. Oh. No, all those. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. My number three is, what if Killmonger saved Tony Stark? I thought that was a really strong one for all the reasons you guys listed. But I think what they did a really good job of is, I mean, at least for me, maybe I'm just kind of a fool, but I was kind of thinking like, okay, maybe they made him like different. Maybe like if they picked him at a different time in his life, he wasn't, you know, going to be as like manipulative or that he had like on straight. Nope. he just kept conning like his every step of the way. He had like this whole plan like figured out, which I think is like very true. And I think that was something they like condensed that like unrolling of the character that they did throughout all of Black Panther to just like a half hour show. So I really like that. So what's your runner up, Logan?
My runner up is, what if the Watcher broke his oath? Same reasons you guys said. I mean, it was a cool finale. It didn't land as much for me. And I was kind of back and forth on the what if zombies and what if the Watcher broke his oath. But I just love Ultron so damn much that that he just takes the cake for me. So the Watcher broke his oath. And definitely something I didn't see coming. Like, I definitely thought that there wasn't going to be, like, I think we all thought, like, each episode was going to stand on its own and not necessarily be something that connected within each other. So the fact that we got, like, Ultron as, like, the villain of season one was really cool.
That was cool.
And just, like, a villain that a lot of people, I think, sleep on. Like, a lot of people don't like Ultron.
I knew where this was going.
So this podcast is officially the James Spader Stan podcast.
I heard you were just a big Robert California guy, just a big late office head.
Oh,
Robert California.
Later office isn't great, but I'm a big Robert California fan.
God, I can't stand him. Such a creep. God, he sucks.
He is, and that's why he's great.
He's the hardest man. He's harder to watch than Michael Scott was. Now.
You might not be wrong. The comments that James Spader made would be high-key cancelable.
Oh, yeah.
122%
cancelable. Oh, yeah.
Tanner,
what you got at your runner-up?
What if Doctor Strange lost his heart? I put hands. But what if he... That didn't happen. I loved it. I thought that was awesome. It was moving. It was, to me, it was like... In a half hour, it was an emotional roller coaster. Very good to me. I love Doctor Strange. So, yeah, that's why. And plus, like, I've seen stuff about, like, a super powerful hint, like, you know, theory shit. And it was cool to see it happen.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, not exactly like it was supposed to, but it happened. All right. Number two, Matt.
Cool. My number two is, what if T'Challa was the Star-Lord?
That's why you shat on me so hard.
Yeah. But it turns out I'm just a big Black Panther stan is what I'm learning with this. But yeah, just seeing T'Challa be just as cool as Peter Quill thinks he is was just amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. And just like I just feel like it nailed a lot of like the heart and the comedy and the action that this show is like going for. Usually it like focused like whole episodes on one of those three. But this one was like a really, really good mix of all of them. So yeah, that is
beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
I thought it was
my runner.
No, I thought it was beautiful how T'Challa anywhere in the galaxy, he was going to be
just thrive.
Good. Yeah. King shit. Be a good guy. King shit. Hit me with that bullshit.
Jesus. Guys, right. We're about to talk about our number ones. However, we have breaking news.
Oh shit, what? Oh no.
They have officially casted Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and he is being played officially.
Can we guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Driver.
No, although I love that.
Adam Warlock, what?
He is don't Google him because you'll see the thing. And I want to be the one that breaks the news to you.
All right. Go.
If you've seen movies such as The Maze Runner or We Are the Millers, the kid that is playing
Kenny
Adam Warlock is
Jason
Will
Sudeikis.
Poulter.
Oh.
Let's go.
That's pretty cool.
The kid whose balls got bit by the tarantula.
I thought we were getting a Ted Lasso, Adam Warlock crossover.
Yeah.
That is Adam Warlock. I got to look him up.
Yeah. He's kind of like a male Will Poulter is playing Adam Warlock in the MCU. So that's really awesome. I would have.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
I would have maybe chosen someone like Zac Efron. I think that was the popular choice to play him. But Will is a good actor. He's been in a lot of good stuff lately. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm trusting more the chops over the look. I feel like you can make them look however you want, but you can only get them to act so much. And Efron might not have in that department. No offense.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He played Bundy pretty well. Wait, you said Zac Efron?
No. Well, Zac Efron was one of my top choices.
Oh yeah, Efron was good in that Bundy movie.
I have more breaking news.
Yeah,
this is less exciting too, but it's about the Eternals.
Okay.
It says that there are two post-credit scenes, and both of them are, according to the director, huge.
So I'm going to be in that theater for like 4 hours?
2 hours and 37 minutes total.
And the second part of that is that the Eternals takes place 60% present day, 40% in the past, which
that's kind of the vibe.
Their events are going to take place in London, which will take place during Spider-Man Far From Home. Kind of taking place during the fight with Mysterio.
Sure.
Oh,
so.
Oh, the film? Sorry. I got a mouthful.
So, Far From Home, not No Way Home.
I know.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know if we'll see them fighting, but like,
imagine if they pan out and they show him swinging around and shit. Oh,
but either way, that was breaking news. Good deal there.
Now I want to see the Eternals again.
Nobody saw this one not coming. My number one favorite episode of What If is What If Ultron won? That's same reason. You too?
Ultron won.
Yep.
No, not me.
I know what yours is, Tanner.
What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What If Zombies?
But yeah, What If Ultron won? Just a kick-ass episode to watch start from finish, just to kind of pan away from the heroes and just see kind of Ultron with his rise to power. Seeing him take on the Watcher was really awesome, and how they fought each other and went through different realities and slicing Thanos in half. Just a total awesomeness there. Just
adrenaline for the last 30 minutes of adrenaline. Just couldn't be topped.
Yeah, absolutely. Tanner, you said What If Zombies is your favorite.
I love it. I thought that was the best one, like through and through. When it ended, I was like, what? So, yeah, I just love that one a lot. That's all I can say.
Sure.
The best one out of all of them, in my opinion. Oh, duck.
Well, that's good stuff. That's episode. I'm sorry. That's our ranking of our What If episodes, season one. Shout out to What If. So our next upcoming Marvel projects, we've got, like I said earlier, that list of 2022 and 23 movies, but. Excuse me, hiccups. We've got the Eternals on November 5th and Hawkeye on November 12th.
Let's go.
And Hawkeye will run all the way up through air, I think, on the day of either Christmas Day, or it will be it'll end before Spider-Man No Way Home. So there you go. Look at this episode we had. Marvel. You don't know how many times I've thought about rebranding to be a Disney and Marvel podcast only.
Honestly, yeah.
But
that's all that's ever happening.
But then we don't get to talk about award-winning movies like The Guilty.
Well, soon to be award-winning.
Oh, hopefully. Guys, that was episode 239 of the Binge Boys podcast. If you like what you heard, tell a friend, man. We give our takes and we give them... honestly, and we have a fun time while doing it, man. We love talking about Marvel. We love talking about trailers. We love talking about What If. We love talking about all this stuff. So share it with a friend. Show them how passionate we are about this stuff. Rate it, review it, share it on Twitter, share it on Instagram, share it with one friend. And that's all I need from you, or we'll set the dogs on you. To we'll quote Ross Bolin,
on you.
To quote W.R. Bolin, New York Times best-selling author W.R. Bolin.
Have you heard via ESPN Game Day that his wife left him?
What?
Ross Bolin's wife left him, Tanner. But shouts to Ross, shouts to RBP, and shouts to you guys for listening to the Binge Boys. We'll see you on Thursday for the run through of Gone Girl.
Damn.
Bye.
See you guys.
Oh. Goodbye. Goodbye. See you later. Bye. Goodbye. See you later, alligator.
Bye.
After a while, crocodile.
Bye-bye.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.